January 16th, 2009. It's the Lullabot Podcast. It's Lullabot Podcast, episode 68, 2009, the first podcast of 2009. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with
Addison Berry
and
Kent By,
as well as
Angie Byron
and
John Van Dyke,
and also
James Walker.
So we survived the Do It With Drupal conference. We took a little break after that. The last podcast, episode 67, was sort of a live thing, question and answer thing from Do It With Drupal. And then we just sort of collapsed in a heap and drank eggnog and ate ham and turkey and things like that, and had various holidays. And now we're back. It's 2009. We're getting a new president here in the U.S., and, you know, good times abound. How was the Do It With Drupal conference for all y'all?
Awesome.
I loved it.
Say awesome.
Like, I totally loved it, like, as an attendee. There were, like, some awesome sessions.
Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, we kind of put together things to be sort of fun. We had sessions on things like how to build Basecamp in Drupal and building Flickr in Drupal. Jeff Eaton built Twitter using Drupal, and Jeff Eaton's stuff is always fun, but that was particularly fun.
Yeah. It was really fun because he built Twitter in Drupal and then spent an hour telling everybody exactly why they shouldn't ever try to. Which frankly was an awesome way to kick off a conference.
I know, it really kind of blew people's minds too, because they were like, but he told us, and then he told us not, and then I don't.
But it worked, and
I don't know. I don't know if I totally agree with them. I mean, what he's saying is, if you're gonna build Twitter, you know, if it was like going to be what Twitter is, then you probably shouldn't build it in Drupal, because there's a whole lot of overhead to Drupal for, I don't know, the whole node system and all the sort of abstraction stuff that you wouldn't really need for Twitter. You'd want something to be super performant like that. But I mean, the truth is that most people building a Twitter-like system are not going to have the popularity that Twitter did. And even arguably, Twitter hadn't really planned for their success.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's sort of two sides to that. First of all, you know, Twitter built on Rails. Rails isn't even really a good idea for Twitter, as Twitter has found out at Twitter scale. But I thought the great thing about what Jeff did was, he said, you know, the thing is, though, you know, you probably don't want to build a service as big as Twitter, you know, like this, exactly for what you said, because of the overhead of Drupal. There's just, you know, most of what building Twitter with Drupal is turning off and disabling Drupal. But the thing he did say was that it's nice, because if you want, you know, Twitter-like functionality as part of another site, or, you know, something internally, you know, or smaller scale, or what have you, part of a bigger site, then yes, you can still do something as simple as Twitter, or, you know, a micro blog, with Drupal just fine. So, but yeah, it was definitely a great sort of kickoff to get people thinking, about, you know, when to use Drupal and why to use Drupal and how to use it. And, so it was a fun session.
Yeah. And, we had, there were like site dissections. We, did a site dissection of the, New York Observer, and, Nate and,
Roger Lopez.
Exactly. Yeah. Showed the Sony, artist multi-site system. I mean, they have a system that runs all their artists multi-sites for like Britney Spears and Ozzy Osbourne and Jennifer Lopez, and basically all, not all the Sony artists, but a really, high percentage of them. They're running something like, well, Nate could tell if he were here, but they're running something like 100 and something our artist websites on that platform.
Yeah. Well, and growing all the time, you know, they are continually adding new artists.
Yep.
To the site. Yeah.
Yeah. And
they upgraded it to Drupal 6.
There you go. Yeah. God,
and added internationalization. I mean, there
it's really
tough.
It's really something. I mean, I guess Sony doesn't get a whole lot of press for what they're doing, but they employ Earl Miles, and who basically works on views and panels for them full time, and they do some really cool stuff over there. Fastcompany.com. Eric from Development Seed came and talked about all this sort of mapping stuff that he's been doing, pandemic preparedness stuff. Which is,
That was the sort of title was a mouthful.
The most oblique title, but people who attended said that it was really cool. And I mean, we did it in New Orleans. It really was great. I was a little nervous in this economy to be putting on a conference like this, but it was a really big success. Other highlights for any of you?
I think Lane Becker's speech was his keynote speech was really, really interesting. Just talking about sort of different the title of the talk was, you know, the tools that you need can't be built in order to sort of host a community, and so he sort of was talking a lot about these sort of larger implicit things that you have to do when you're building a community. A big metaphor that he was using a lot was whether or not you're building sort of a stadium or a church. A stadium would be kind of like dig and leaderboards and competition, and sort of like when you build a stadium, you sort of get that type of behavior. Or are you building a church where you want people to sort of, you know, like the scrapbooking community that Lane talked about, where people just start praise threads where they, you know, just want to start, you know, a thread where they throw praise at each other, and to think about, you know, what a praise thread would look like on dig.com.
Right. Where it's sites where you're sort of encouraging kind of people to debate and argue or sites where you're, you know, people like the scrapbooking site where he just put up and showed like a post where somebody said, hey, here's some stuff I've done. Tell me how much you love it. And other people post things and then we'll tell you how much we love it.
Yeah.
It's like, boy, that had never happened on Dig.
Yeah. I thought it was really great because the way Lane's session ended up, and I'd love to say that we had planned it this well, but because Lane's session sort of set up what we had done is set up some tracks. We wanted to give sort of a comprehensive look at building a site, and a lot of it tends to be not just, you know, plugging Drupal modules together. So we had, you know, an entire track on, you know, building and managing sort of community and you know, social aspects to sites and things like that, as well as a track on the business aspects. But one of the great things that I saw sort of as the week went on were how many people sort of referenced without having seen, you know, Lane's talk already, but Lane's talk sort of kicked off a lot of stuff that was picked up in the following 2 days, you know, people referencing that same, particularly, you know, things like leaderboards and what that does to the behavior in your community. And, you know, just by adding a feature and turning on a feature on your site, you can completely change, you know, sort of the nature of, you know, of your community. The leaderboard was a really powerful one where it's like, if you set up a place where the people in your community can compete, they will compete. And that's fine if that's how you want your community to run, but just be aware that, you know, those tools and the people using them, are pretty tightly linked. So I found that whole sort of section of the conference just absolutely fascinating, because it's certainly something that we don't talk a lot about explicitly as a Drupal community and as Drupal developers.
Yeah, certainly events like DrupalCon tend to be, you know, more developer oriented, talking about the development and how we're going to improve Drupal and all that kind of stuff. But it was really interesting to sort of talk about really, you know, more general things like, you know, sort of architecting communities and how they work and planning for that through design and the tools, you know, the actual functionality of your site stuff. Cool stuff. Yeah, I mean, we had Earl Miles come talk about Views, Karen Stevenson. We've talked about the conference before the conference, so I think people kind of have an idea, even if they weren't able to make it to the conference. But it really it went well. That people really enjoyed the food. New Orleans is always good for food, and we had good food at the event. Yeah, it was really great. I got to meet a lot of cool people, and it was nice. I don't think I left the hotel for 3 days, though.
I will say some people enjoyed Bourbon Street a whole lot.
Yes.
I'll just leave it at that.
We used Twitter a lot. We kind of encouraged people to post on Twitter, and we were using hashtags for the conference. And so we were kind of tracking what was going on. And yes, it was interesting to see those 2 o'clock in the morning tweets coming in.
Actually, or the 4 o'clock in the morning ones.
Yeah.
The Twitter thing was actually really interesting. I'm actually looking at the, if you go to search.twitter.com, and if you search for the #DIWD, you'll actually see sort of a history and log of the, of conference, of people sort of tweeting their highlights and sort of pointers and different things like that. And, it was really interesting to have that back channel. We sort of did the question and answers in a different way, where we tried to use both IRC and the #DIWD in order to have people ask questions. And I think that what happened was that a lot of people started answering other people's questions. And now, like I said, you could go to search.twitter.com and search for the dude, a tag, and sort of see all the different comments and links and everything.
Yeah, that system went really well. We had I'd seen it at the START conference, or START, I guess it was a conference. It was sort of a 1 day thing that Jeff Veen and Brian Mason put on in San Francisco a couple months ago, and it was really nice because it made all of the questions sort of moderated, which kept any one question from sort of dominating. And, you know, you get that person that stands up there and, "I have a 6-part question," you know, and it sort of dominates the 15 minutes of questions that you have available, and no one else gets to kind of answer their questions. So this is a good way to kind of sort of put them all into a pool and then kind of pick out of the hat. I just mixed my metaphor. Maybe you put them all in a hat. You put them all in a hat and then pick one out of the hat. There you go. And so yeah, that was really cool. And we videotaped the whole thing. Yep. And we're putting the videos up on doitwithdrupal.com. Everyone that attended the conference gets access to them for free. And other people, you can buy them. We're still figuring out all the logistics on that, but, we should have them up by the end of the week. So go to doitwithdrupal.com.
And hopefully by the time this podcast hits, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of just one more about the back channel. I think the one of the great things, in addition to sort of allowing us to moderate and make sure as many questions got answered as possible, was the huge sort of crosstalk that started happening. And a lot of times, you know, in most sessions, people's questions would get answered in the back channel. We had a lot of, you know, people sitting in one session asking questions, you know, seeing what was going on in the session next to them and asking questions about, "Oh, ask them this." And, yeah, it was really fun. And yeah, and the nice thing is now we've got sort of that archive, online to look back and see. And, yeah, it was a bit of a flyer, I guess. We took a chance on it, and it seemed to work really well. So
I have to admit, I was a little bit apprehensive about that whole thing. I wasn't really in favor of going that way. I thought maybe that would be too much technology interfering, but I'm completely converted. I think it was a wonderful success.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a sort of a leap of faith, going, you mean just like particularly Twitter, John, or the IRC?
Yeah, just like Twitter and IRC to kind of have a back channel going.
Yeah, and just to toss them all in one pool.
I didn't actually use that for the moderation. I mean, often there's a back channel going, but to have an official one that the moderator is actually monitoring was pretty cool.
And people also sort of had a feel for what was happening in the other rooms at the same time. So there's always sort of that feeling like you commit to a certain room and you're thinking like, oh, I hope I chose right, you know. And you can kind of sort of follow what's happening, and, you know, and people would skip out of one room and go into another room and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're really excited. I mean, of course, and the other thing about putting all the videos up for people that attended is everyone that attended was only able to attend 1/3 of the event, right? Because we had 3 different tracks going, and so at any given time they were probably, well, for the most part, they were missing 2 other sessions, and so this is a great way for them to kind of catch up and see what they didn't see. So attend the conference that they didn't attend. So
Yeah. And for anybody who wasn't there, and we've sort of gotten a lot of email and questions about, you know, people wondering if they can get access to it, keep an eye on doitwithdrupal.com/blog, and, you know, when the video's up and ready to go, we will post announcements and make sure you hear about it. So.
This is we're going to get criticized. We always do. This is the tooting our own horn podcast, but oh well. it's Drupal news as we see it. But continuing on in that same vein, our book is out. Yeah, Using Drupal is the first Drupal book by O'Reilly. Also, the first Drupal book by the Lullabot team, at least the majority of the Lullabot team. John, you wrote a different book. I know.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. I know.
The two of them are very complementary.
Actually, they are. Yeah. John's book is Pro Drupal Development, which is on Apress, and that's much sort of the recognized technical PHP programmy kind of Drupal book. And our book's very not programmy. We got a great review on Slashdot. We should put the link to that in the show notes. I don't know. Maybe people aren't interested in that, but I am. I was excited. And you know, Slashdot, they're usually kind of curmudgeonly. So,
yeah. Well, particularly for a book that's not, you know, I mean, Using Drupal is not aimed at a, you know, a highly sort of technical, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, it's a complement to Pro Drupal Development. It's, you know, how you actually build sites just using the modules that are available. And so for the Slashdot audience to be so kind to it was nice. Yeah.
Certainly.
I liked it too.
Yeah. All right. Enough horn tooting. DrupalCon DC is the next Drupal event that everyone should go to, March 4th through 7th in DC. Anybody want to give some more insight into that one?
Yeah, I went to the DC meetup last night, and Development Seed have a very strong presence in the local Drupal community, if you can imagine that. The folks that have sort of the driving force behind DrupalCon, and so we got a little update last night sort of on where things are, which is basically awesome. They're doing really well. We have over 900 people registered already, it's doing really well in terms of raising money and stuff like that, and people seem really excited about it. And one of the things that Bonnie talked about last night that she had just put up prior to the meetup and is now up on the DrupalCon site are ways to volunteer to help the conference. A bunch of it is sort of specific to the DC area. So people who are in sort of the DC Mid-Atlantic region can help out, not just like locally being in the city, but just like information about places to go, things to do and stuff like that. But if you go to the DrupalCon site and you go to the forums, there's now a new forum for volunteering for the conference, and it's at the DrupalCon site, which is dc2009.drupalcon.org, and then it's at /forum/1732. But there's a whole bunch of different things in there about how you can actually get involved and help out. So the DC community is really excited, and I think it's going to be a really, really fun conference.
Yeah, the development seed folks are just doing a really, really great job organizing this thing. And
yeah, they're banging it up.
Yeah, the other thing that I've been really impressed with, well, I mean, the site itself is pretty killer, really well done. But they've done, I would say, the best job of a DrupalCon so far, drumming up sponsorship and getting, you know, really running it in a financially sustainable manner. You know, I mean, it's, you know, they're already at 900 attendees, was still, you know, almost 2 months out. But yeah, just they've oversold sponsorship and all kinds of, you know, and all the volunteer efforts. I mean, it's really being well run, which is nice to see, because certainly past DrupalCons have, you know, have struggled because it's a lot of volunteer effort. And as they continue to grow, you know, it continues to become a more and more challenging event to put on. So yeah, kudos to them.
Yeah, last night when I was talking with Bonnie, you know, I asked her, like, so how's it going? And I expected her to be like, oh, man! And she's like, no, it's going really well. She's like, everything's going really smoothly. And she's like, you know, like, at the, you know, last week I was sort of freaking out a little bit, like, okay, where are things? What's going on? And she's like, and today she's like, I'm pretty relaxed. Like, there's still a lot to do, but nothing feels like out of control. Like, they've totally rocked it. So
that's great. Usually the people who organize DrupalCons, by the time that the DrupalCon actually comes up, they're like bleeding from their eyes, you know.
Yeah. and never want to put on another DrupalCon. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, and I know just from talking to Eric and Bonnie from Development Seed as sort of, you know, the lead organizers, you know, they're doing a lot to try to document what they've done and what's worked and really, you know, I think they're setting a standard for how to run DrupalCon and it's great.
I'm excited.
Are we done promoting our own stuff?
I'm excited because this is sort of adjunct to that, but I'm excited because I'm looking at the homepage of DrupalCon.org, and there's recent session submissions, and there's one here called "Why I Hate Drupal" by James Walker.
That's right.
I totally voted for that.
Good. And everybody listening should vote too. I'm trying to think. Wait, I think if that session gets more votes than any of Jeff Eaton's sessions, I'm going to give away something at the session. I haven't figured out. So sensational titles aside, it's the talk I'm most excited about giving, or have been most excited about for a long time. But basically, it comes out of a lot of things. I mean, one of the things we tried to do with Drupal, was be very sort of realistic and pragmatic. And in a lot of what we do as Lullabot, we talk a lot about, you know, what you can and can't do or should or shouldn't do and how you should or shouldn't do things with Drupal. And so sort of in that vein of realism, there's a lot of things about Drupal that are just still really mind-numbingly frustrating to try to do. As a lot of people will notice. And so, typically DrupalCon sessions tend to be all about, you know, what's going to be awesome in the next version of, you know, either Drupal or this module or that module. And
About what's going to be horrible in the next version of Drupal.
I'm going to talk about what sucks and why it sucks and why if you Google search for Drupal sucks, you get way more hits than any of us want. But yeah, and also, I don't know, I've got this thing where my hair is starting to go gray, and I've been doing Drupal work for more years than I can actually remember.
You're getting curmudgeonly.
I can't seem to grow up since I started.
You're working up your curmudgeon.
It's good. Exactly.
Get off my lawn!
I've got a huge curmudgeon thing going, so this is going to be my chance to rant, and I hope everybody comes and laughs and throws things. So
talk about image and core?
No, damn it.
Image handling and core. You know, you forget that you even want these things after a while.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So I was doing a little searching on Drupal.org, because I actually am legitimately trying to figure out when I started working on Drupal, and I honestly have no idea, which, so every time I go to a Drupal meetup or somebody, I'm in a meeting and somebody asks, you know, how long you've been doing Drupal, I always say something like 32 years because I don't actually remember. But so I was digging through a bunch of like early Drupal.org posts yesterday or recently, and it was hilarious because the old like predictions for the next version of Drupal back in like 4.1 were like, oh, we're looking, you know, I'm really excited about the new file API going into Drupal core. And now here we are in 2009, still looking for that new file API.
Hey. Drupal 7 has a new file API. Thank you very much.
It does. And yeah. And I mean, huge shout out to the, you know, and I'm trying to remember his real name, Druish, Andrew Morton and Nate and all the people sort of driving that home. Cause, yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, so we have an announcement also. So the day before DrupalCon DC, we're going to be doing a day of training. So there's going to be a Lullabot Drupal training day on March 3rd at the same venue that DrupalCon is happening at. And you want to talk about that some, James?
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, this is something we've actually had the past couple Drupal cons. We've had organizers come and say, you know, hey, you know, do you guys want to do some sort of Lullabot workshop in conjunction? And for various reasons, it just, you know, either our schedule or what have you, it's not quite, it hasn't quite worked out in the past. And so, talking with the folks at Development C, they said, you know, hey, we'd love to have you guys come do something. And we said, well, we'd love to come do something. So we've had several talks and what we're going to do is, yeah, it's a one day, Tuesday, March 3rd, be just a one day event. And what we're going to do is essentially, a combination of the sort of fantasy site type things that we did at Do It With Drupal, but also geared towards some of the book, which means that they're going to be basically how to build sites with Drupal, which is, you know, something that a lot of people new to Drupal are, you know, still struggle with. It's, you know, the mentality of you know, looking at all of the Drupal modules and how to pick certain modules and how to use modules in conjunction, because there's a lot of modules there and there's a lot of decisions to be made. A lot of modules do very similar sounding things. And so trying to figure out that particularly for new people, but even for people who have been, you know, building Drupal sites for a while, and image module is a great one we can keep picking on. But you know, like, how to figure out if I want to use image module versus image field and how do I put those together so that I get a site like I'm, you know, trying to build. So yeah, it should be good. That we're just finalizing the details and again, potentially by, you know, either just before or just after this podcast goes up, we'll have information up on the DrupalCon site as well as lullabot.com with more details and registration and all of that.
Cool. So it's like a day of choosing and configuring modules and
a day of how to actually build a site.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure it will be awesome. I hope it will be awesome. what else do we have? I don't know. We were gonna take a little bit of time in the podcast and just sort of do a little look back at 2008 and a little look forward at 2009. I say little, but historically these things tend to go on, so we'll see how it goes. anybody want to talk about sort of like, I don't know, do sort of a wrap up of 2008? I mean, what were the sort of big things that happened in 2008 from a Drupal standpoint?
Well, Drupal 6 was released in February, and then Vue's and CCK eventually. But you know, those things sort of together, I think, sort of eventually reached a tipping point and critical mass of Drupal 6.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess 2008 was sort of the year of Drupal 6 and sort of the slow move to Drupal 6. It was a sort of a new thing in Drupal where there was a really big lag between the Drupal core version coming out and sort of the tipping point, the critical mass of modules for Drupal 6 being ready.
Yeah. I'd say, I mean, I think the interesting thing, because we had a similar lag, although I don't know that it was quite as long back with Drupal 4.7. But I think that the huge thing for Drupal 6 was the fact that CCK and Vue's lagged as far as they did, really started to show just how crucial CCK and Vue's are to building sites with Drupal. You know, because people weren't willing to move to Drupal 6 until those modules and maybe a couple others, were ready, which, you know, sort of, I think was an eye opener for the whole community as to just how, essential to Drupal those two modules in particular are, and maybe why we'll see more of them in core in the future.
Yeah, this came up in the last podcast, the one from New Orleans, where both Earl of Views and Karen of CCK sort of talked about that process. I mean, both of those modules went through basically a rewrite at the same time. So, yeah. And Drupal 6 had the whole new theme system, which allowed the theme developer module and stuff like that to start to do their thing. Actually, Moshe's been pinging me about getting the theme developer module, banging out some of the bugs in the theme developer module. But for people who haven't seen if you're doing any theme development and you haven't seen the theme developer module, you should check it out. It's part of the Devel package, the Devel project. And I don't know, how would you describe it? It's sort of like Firebug, maybe, but looking at Drupal theming rather than CSS and the DOM in the same way that Firebug is. It's more looking at how Drupal theming has affected all the things on the page.
It's completely changed the way, you know, I think the way people theme, but it's certainly radically changed the way we teach people how to theme.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because the huge, you know, one of the biggest stumbling blocks to Drupal theming before was, you know, yes, if you knew enough about exactly what was going on, you could override anything in the theme, but it was non-trivial to figure out just what was going on. And with theme developer, you know, yeah, you know, in a very Firebug style way, you know, you can turn it on and find for any, you know, section of the page you're looking at, you know, what theme function generated that bit of markup and, you know, what variables were available, et cetera, et cetera. And it makes it so much easier for people to do their theming work. And yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Drupal 6's theme system actually has a learning curve now, as opposed to Drupal 5's theming system where it's like, oh, you want a theme? Learn PHP. So
yeah, it had a learning brick wall.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of describe it that the theming, the easy stuff in theming for Drupal 6 got a lot easier, although the harder stuff is harder now. But most people are just doing the easy stuff. And certainly, like you say, James, it makes it easier for us to teach it, being able to sort of show people, there's just more tools out there and we just can show them how to use the tools. So, Malum was launched this year. Dries Boitart, who, is the project founder, of Drupal, basically launched two different companies this year. He launched Acquia, and Malum. Malum is a comment spam solution that's very Drupal oriented. and pretty cool. We're using
actually
that.
Not anymore. Like it's sort of a generalized one, and I've seen him like announce plugins for just about everything: WordPress, Joomla, etc.
Well, yeah, I mean it's Drupal oriented. In that Dries is Drupal oriented.
Oh,
but
sure.
Yes, it's a system that works for everything. I mean, in the same way that a Kismet maybe is more WordPress oriented because Matt Mullenweg is.
Sure.
More WordPress oriented. But yeah, you're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, although I guess it's technically 2009 news, but yeah, Dries just released some updates to Malum where you can actually just use Malum as a straight CAPTCHA service. So it's got some interesting features. You know, I mean, you brought up a Kismet, you know, some things that make it different from a Kismet in that it's got a whole mechanism for if it can't tell or if something is questionably spam, it'll add in, you know, sort of an automatic CAPTCHA system or some, you know, additional tests to determine humanness. And now you can actually just use that if you want to just use that CAPTCHA system directly. You can do that as well. So yeah, it's an interesting service to watch.
It was a big summer of code. The Drupal Google Summer of Code projects. We had a lot of them, 21 of them this year. Everything keeps moving up.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of Summer of Code, Google hasn't officially announced, but sort of informally made hints about there being a Summer of Code 2009. And one of the other things that happened in 2008 is I became the Drupal 7 core maintainer, which means that I'm not going to be able to run Summer of Code this year. So what we need is we need a big team of people who love Summer of Code and want to help, or if you're a company and you're desperately trying to find Drupal people, or if you are, you know, someone who's got this great idea that you never really had time to do yourself, but you've got 5 or 10 hours a week over the summer that you could help someone else implement, or if you're just really good at keeping track of things and, you know, you're a spreadsheet kind of person who can make sure that things aren't falling through the cracks, or you're just nice and you like to welcome new people to the community, any of those kind of things, if you go to groups.drupal.org/soc-2009, we have a sign-up wiki where you can sign up, and it's got all the details about what all the various jobs are and what time requirements are there and you know, what sort of things you'd be doing and stuff like that. But really, it would be – we really need a big team this year to try and – take on management of this thing, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to welcome new people in the community, as well as kind of give some of the old standbys in the community who happen to be students some money for all their hard work and stuff. So, would love it if that wiki page got all filled up with tons and tons of names. That would make me feel a lot less stressed out about it. So, help Angie not lose her hair. Please help with Summer of Code. Thank you.
We found Angie through Summer of Code, so, you know.
There you go.
There you go, exactly. I'm just saying, you know.
There's a lot of
some quality yeah. people out there.
Yeah, there really are. Like, if you look through, like, kind of the Hall of Fame or whatever, I mean, you've got Rox Lender, who, you know, works for Now Public, and Constantine also works for Now Public. You've got Development Seed hired Will and Aaron Novak, and ZivTech hired some people from Summer of Code. There's a lot of old Summer of Code graduates who are doing great things in the community, and, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, don't see it as just a way to get employees. It's also a great way to just, you know, sort of foster new cool code in the community and stuff like that. But yeah, honestly, like it's a great opportunity for anybody who fits into, you know, wanting to see a project completed. So yes.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that's the one thing that, or one of the things the Drupal community has done a really good job of with Summer of Code is the retention of people, you know, people who come and spend a summer doing Summer of Code. It, like you said, Angie, a lot of them, yourself included, are still around and, you know, prominent members of the community now. So, it's definitely been an awesome thing for involved in.
There were a lot of Drupal awards this year, 2008. Drupal won the CNET Webware Award in the publishing category. Two PACT Open Source CMS Awards, Best PHP Open Source CMS, and Best Overall Open Source CMS for the second year in a row. Angie, right here, won the Google O'Reilly Open Source Award as the Best Overall Contributor in an Open Source Project. We couldn't be more proud of her. I can hear her blushing.
quiet.
And Earl Miles won the PACT Open Source CMS Most Valuable Person award, and so yeah, some awards. I'm sure we might even be missing some here. So if we're missing anything, please come comment on the podcast and correct us. We love it when people help in you know, warm and caring ways.
Yeah, another big item this year was the Drupal Association kicked off a Drupal.org redesign. So they went through the process of finding a design firm to sort of, you know, figure out what is the Drupal community and what should our webs, you know, because the big problem with Drupal.org is, well, you know, one is the design is
a big problem.
Yeah. The big problem though is that, you know, there are any number of, like, say 10 different target audiences or more, to Drupal.org, and we're right now not serving very many of them. You know, developers have one place to go, and that's pretty good. End users kind of tend to stick to the forums, but because those two don't cross-sect, you know, a lot of developers don't find out issues that users are raising, and users don't get help from developers who could help them.
There are forums. No idea
where to find information, and it's just kind of a little bit of a mess right now. So
there are forums on Drupal.org.
Yeah, right. I know, right? So the Drupal Association ended up hiring Mark Bolton Design, and they did a fantastic process. It was open and transparent. Basically, they would post iterations of the design, say weekly, and just get everybody to just tear it to pieces, and then they'd take, you know, kind of the aggregate of the feedback and integrate that and do another iteration. And they did a lot of really interesting things, like, you know, online card sorting, and it was just a really neat process. It's sort of treading new ground in the design world, because traditionally with design stuff, you know, there's a client, and there's not 300,000 clients, and the client says, we need a site, and you kind of go off in your corner, and you come back with three options, and they get to pick one or whatever. And this was really done very out in the open, very embracing the community, very it was a really fantastic process to watch. So that's now, the design of the site is now done, and then 2009 we're going to be hitting the implementation of that. And there's some chip-ins. If you go to the front page of Drupal.org right now, there's a chip-in for a couple of sprints related to the redesign, one to upgrade Drupal.org to Drupal 6, and another one to just kind of put the pieces in place before DrupalCon, to kind of get everybody organized so that we can hit it really hard there. But there's some really exciting stuff in there. I mean, totally reworked modules pages, totally reworked homepage, a marketplace for businesses and stuff like that to advertise, and for people to find jobs and stuff. So it's really exciting stuff, so everybody should go, you know, check that out. That would be at groups.drupal.org/drupal-org-redesign-analysis. Sorry. Or just search for Drupal.org redesign and you'll find it. But
well, there was a front page post about the sprint, which has probably a link to that information as well, which might be easier to find.
even easier. Drupal.markboltondesign, and it's Bolton, B-O-U-L-T-O-N, not like the crappy 80s singer, design.com.
Hey, that's subjective, Angie.
I'm sorry.
actually, no, I looked it up on Wikipedia. He's actually listed as a crappy 80s singer, so...
that's the objective opinion.
Yeah.
Or was sort of shortly after you got there.
goodness, let's see.
Wikipedia jokes.
you could trust Wikipedia. What else we got? Handbook.
Oh, right. Yeah, we had some cool handbook stuff happen last year. Well, just documentation stuff generally, but two of the big things that towards the end of the year the documentation team put into place and sort of rallied around and stuff was we created a new handbook called Getting Involved, which is designed to basically get all of the information about the various ways that you can get involved and contribute or do things in the Drupal community into one book that sort of can walk you through. So it starts off at the very beginning with why you want to and how to get an account, and then it has, you know, all of the different things that you can do, contributing code, doing documentation, translations, and all those things. And then you can just sort of go through the steps and see sort of what's involved and how to do things. So still needs, it's still a little bit rough in some areas. It's not as filled out as we want, but the other thing that we did is we opened up editing on Drupal.org for everybody who has a Drupal.org account. So if you're reading the handbook and you see something that's wrong or a broken link or you have some more information you want to add or you want to clarify things, you can just hit the edit tab on the page and go ahead and edit. You don't have to go through any special hoops, you know, asking to join and stuff like that. And we're redefining what the documentation team means, because you don't need to have that little checkbox in your roles anymore to really have a big impact on documentation. So the documentation team, as we're defining it now, is really anybody who helps, anybody who edits pages, creates pages, or helps in the issue queue. And those are all available to anybody with a Drupal.org account. So it's really exciting. It's gotten, a lot more people involved. This year's going to keep carrying that forward. I can tell you that much.
Wow.
Yeah,
so speaking,
I think you're going to see a general trend towards like just reducing barriers to contribution, because that's a big one, you know, like the ability, just like it's so simple, like when you're first starting out, you know, the only thing that you know is you know that you followed these steps and they didn't work, you know what I mean? Like, and but that's something that you can help with, you know, and once you figure stuff out, and as opposed to kind of going through a big process, which you're not going to do because you don't think of yourself as smart enough to be on the documentation team. So I really like that change. I think it's been really, really positive.
That's an interesting segue from Wikipedia there. has Drupal.org seen a lot of abuse like Wikipedia pages sometimes do?
That was the biggest fear with opening it. And again, even just like monitoring the page, I mean, obviously people can see if a page is edited weird and they can go in and edit and fix it. But we also actually have a listing page that is, if I can get a URL, we have a recent updates page. So it's at drupal.org/handbook/updates. And that just lists all the latest pages that have had edits done to them. And there's a link directly to the diff so you can see what people changed. We basically review that pretty regularly just to see what are people doing. And honestly, we really have not had editing spam. We've had a couple instances where people go in and are sort of playing around and testing to see if it really works, if they can really edit. and sometimes they clean up after themselves and sometimes they don't. But we've only had one page that someone completely obliterated, but playing around, they just put gibberish in. But the thing is that we keep track of all of the revisions. So it's a simple matter of just reverting to the page in its previous state and we just pick up where we left off. So, we really haven't seen a lot of vandalism at all, which is amazing. So, and the team's been really good.
Podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey!
Is it coincidental that you wrote the wiki chapter for the O'Reilly book and now the documentation stuff? You've sort of headed up it going in a wiki direction?
It actually is totally coincidental, because I was actually very anti-opening initially. And it just took sort of a lot of I was thinking a lot about it over the summer. Angie and I had some extended talks about it, and then I opened it up for discussion with the documentation team. This is all before I was the documentation team lead. This was just sort of thinking and talking. I think everybody, I mean, there was definitely a sense from the documentation team of, oh, what are we getting ourselves into? But let's give it a try. And so we did it as a trial, and it worked really well. But I was actually kind of skeptical. going in, but I just thought it was something that we needed to try and sort of put out there. And if it failed miserably, then when people would whine about it in the future, we could point back and say, man, it blew up, but it didn't blow up. So I'd have to say it's sort of strange because I wasn't the biggest fan, but I'm really, really, really happy that we did it because I think it's been awesome.
Huh. Right on.
Yeah, so also in documentation news, Addy officially became the head of the documentation team. That was 2008.
That's true.
Speaking of documentation, there are a lot of new Drupal books came out, and we put out a DVD as well. We should just run them down. Who wants to run them down?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, this has been just a proliferation of you know, Drupal dead tree documentation this year has been awesome.
Woo.
There's a Packet Publishing put out a bunch of books. There's Building Powerful and Robust Websites with Drupal 6 by David Mercer. And that's kind of a looking at the Drupal interface kind of approach. There's Learning Drupal 6 Module Development by Matt Butcher. It's more of a getting started with module development. Drupal 6 Themes by Rick Shreves is kind of an update, I think, of his Drupal 5 Themes book. And that's really cool since Drupal 6's theme system has completely changed. Then there's more specific books. We're starting to get some niche Drupal books out there, like Selling Online with Drupal E-Commerce by Michael Peacock, Drupal Multimedia by Aaron Winborn, which is a really great book because there's so many different ways to do it with Drupal, and Aaron walks through a bunch of different ways. Drupal in Education and E-Learning by Bill Fitzgerald from Funny Monkey. Then, of course, there's the second edition of my book, Pro Drupal Development, second edition, which covers Drupal 6. That's more of a sort of a comprehensive reference book to Drupal. And then there's the O'Reilly book by the Lulbots.
Called Using Drupal.
Using Drupal.
Out on O'Reilly. Find it on your favorite Amazon bookseller.
I think of it just as the O'Reilly book, but you know, there's probably going to be more O'Reilly books on Drupal coming up. So
it could happen if enough people buy Using Drupal.
Oh dear!
Buy my book.
Also, our DVD Understanding Drupal came out, which is sort of a real super generalized kind of thing for people very, very new to Drupal, kind of wanting to get an overview. And lynda.com came out with a Drupal training course called Drupal Essential Training, which is what? It's something like 8 hours of Drupal screencast goodness by the trusted people at lynda.com. Yeah. So 2009. What do you think?
I think 2009 is going to be the year of the sprint.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's doing a sprint on something.
Everybody is just crazy about like getting together in person and face to face and working real time. I don't know. But yeah, I mean there's Angie outlined that, you know, there's a series of I believe it's three now sprints to get sort of higher Drupal.org infrastructure up to Drupal 6. And because that's the other thing is we don't just have Drupal.org anymore. There's groups and association and all these subsites of Drupal.org. So getting those all up to Drupal 6 and then sprints to then implement, you know, Mark Bolton's design on top. I know Addy's planning a bunch of documentation sprints. Aaron Winborn's putting together a multimedia sprint. So it's going to be a lot of Drupal developers looking each other in the eye in 2009.
And running really fast to the finish line.
And getting in shape, damn it.
One fit group by 2010.
I'm gonna start a sprinting sprint. Because I think most of the Drupal developers could use a little actual real running.
Hey.
Touché. Hey.
I resemble that remark.
We're going to get a new design for Drupal.org.
Drupal.org's going to completely change.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. A new logo, too, which is going to be dramatic, I think.
Yeah. I really think that those things are going to completely change Drupal and the way that it's seen.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm really excited about what our home and identity server of Drupal is going to be this year. It's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm also really excited about from a doc perspective, but having not just like sort of reorganizing things, making things easier to find in the architecture and stuff like that, but also I'm really excited to have cooler and better tools on Drupal.org itself to be able to get stuff done. So that's exciting to me as well.
Is there going
to
be a WYSIWYG on Drupal.org?
I really doubt it. But I wouldn't be averse to various formats or HTML helpers, maybe. But that I think is a huge discussion that hasn't even begun yet in terms of what will happen there. So I'm not going to throw my hat in the ring on that. But
it was mostly a joke. But
it's a commonly asked feature request.
This will be the year of Drupal 6 because Drupal 7 doesn't actually come out till the end of the year, at least, right?
Well, we don't know. Dries, in his 2009 prediction, said the end of the year. Yeah, well, we haven't announced a code freeze yet. So the way it'll work is, right now we're in code thaw, which all those people griping about how Drupal sucks, you ought to be putting in some core patches to make it suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Now's the time. But anyway, I'm going to rant about that in another podcast. But yeah, so right now we're in code thaw, so people can, whatever crazy features that you want to do or whatever thing that's pissed you off since, whatever thing has made you darn tootin' mad.
Angie has a New Year's resolution to watch her mouth.
I haven't said crap the entire time.
Though. You did.
You did.
That was the second or third time right there.
Okay. Whatever thing has made you royally angry since the beginning of time, you can fix that now. For example, we just fixed the very oldest issue in the entire queue, which is the fact that users can't cancel their own accounts. They can now in Drupal 7. Hooray! There's a file API in Drupal 7. Hooray! There's time zone handling in Drupal 7. Hooray! So it's not undoable. If there's something that you really wish Drupal Core had, you know, come on to IRC, say hello, I would like to help out with Drupal 7, and this is what I'd like to do. And you will have a swarm of people help you figure out how to make that happen. But anyway, so we'll do that for a while, and then Dries will announce a code freeze, and what that means is that from that time on, we're going to focus only on bug fixes and making it stable and making it ready to release. So then, after that point, you can't do your crazy features like fixing time zones in Drupal or whatever. So if we're looking at a release at the end of the year, we're probably looking at a code freeze in the summer sometime, I'm guessing. If you want to see something, your wildest dreams come true in Drupal 7, now's the time to act.
I think one thing that there's a thread that gets started each year by Bert doing the predictions, and there's comments on the front page, and one thing that seems to be getting a lot of excitement is Nate's very Lolabot's very own quick sketch, his form builder that he's been working on for it started actually as a part of our project code name for making sort of CCK node types a little bit easier, to sort of a drag and drop way to build forms. And he's sort of been building that out in an abstract way so that it could sort of plug into different parts like CCK and just other web form and other sort of a generalized API. So I think people are really excited about that. And I think that'll continue to gain momentum and possibly even land in Drupal Core. If you look at the project page for that, it's the form_builder. And there's a demo page where you can go sort of play around with it. But I know that was probably one of the posts on lolabot.com that's gotten the most comments ever of people sort of just really like wowed by that. So go check that out.
Yeah. This is an interesting thread, this just seeing what people are saying. Yeah, Nate saying he wants form builder in core. Karen Stevenson saying profile module will die. yeah.
Yeah, I think that the fields in core stuff, although still speaking of sprints, but yeah, getting CCK style fields into core for Drupal 7 will be huge. I mean, it's something sort of, you know, a lot of us have been looking forward to since 2005. You know, when CCK was first getting designed, there was, you know, the potential to have a system like that in core does things like, yeah, makes profile module no longer necessary and all kinds of other things. And a lot of the I know a lot of the image related work, you know, has been sort of waiting for, you know, a day when we could just have an image field type system as part of core where, you know, you can just add an image as, you know, a field onto your profile or a field onto any content type and things like that. And that, you know, having that whole system just as part of core Drupal could really change a lot of how modules are developed, how, you know, how people think about developing for Drupal, even more so than happens right now with CCK.
Yeah, yeah. Any other grand predictions for 2009? I think it's going to be the biggest DrupalCon ever in DC.
It already is.
Well, yeah. I, you know, they've there's people sold. That people that sign up and then people that attend, but yeah, I mean the you know.
Yeah, it's certainly looking to be huge, and it'll be interesting to see the DrupalCon Europe submissions are. Oh, now I don't remember the deadline, but it's coming up.
It's like in a couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that event comes together, because traditionally the European events have been, you know, a little smaller, but it'll be interesting to see how much of sort of the work that the DC group has done can trickle down and how much of that information gets shared and how effectively it can be implemented. It'll be also interesting to see where DrupalCon Europe ends up.
There's so many different countries there.
There's a lot of little countries, yeah.
And there are several that have indicated that they are going to be putting in proposals. So,
yeah, there are several proposals in the works, yeah. Which will also be interesting because the last couple there haven't been a whole lot of proposals to choose from. So,
yeah, this will be nice to have like a big spread and really, you know.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and make another prediction for 2009. More Drupal sites.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to get bold.
On the edge, man.
I'm thinking a lot of Drupal-based websites being built, some of them for companies and groups.
Wow, no way.
Maybe some individuals building websites. Mm. I don't know. Check me on that one. Check me on that one. 2010. We should
next,
do
next year. This time, we'll be calling you out.
We'll look back and see. Say, but boy, I really thought Jeff was going to be right about that, but surprisingly, no one built any new Drupal sites over the course of the year.
In that vein, though, I think that we might also see some high-profile Drupal sites moving away from Drupal.
Yeah, there we go. This is something we had a very I don't know if heated, but definitely an interesting sort of conversation amongst a couple of us in IRC the other night. I think I would follow that prediction. I would say there will probably be some some people that decide to go a different route, whether it's, you know, the upgrade cost is too much, or they want to scale back and do something simpler in terms of their site.
General bureaucracy. I mean, what we're seeing with the sort of economic shift is just a general sort of bureaucratic shift amongst a lot of particularly large companies, and you get new people that come in and want to do things new ways, and they don't understand how good it is for people's karma to use Drupal. And they just say, you know what, we're going to redo the website in Rails or whatever. So that's inevitable. I guess that's inevitable. That we haven't.
I think it's also.
Problem it's, I th- oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's also part of the growth curve. And I think actually it could be a really good thing. I think Drupal's just been on this sort of, you know, ridiculous upwards shot and, you know, so many wins. And I mean, looking back at 2008, there's a whole lot of just really great stuff happening. And it's sort of inevitable for that growth to, you know, to take a couple lumps along the way. And I think actually a high profile, you know, very visible migration away from Drupal, could be huge for the community in terms of looking at why that might happen and what we can do to sort of address issues. Cause, you know, Drupal is still growing and there's still lots we can learn. So.
Well, and we've certainly at Lullabot, we've met, people who are, hate Drupal. I mean, companies, you know, who it's just been a nightmare. They've installed it and it hasn't performed as well as they'd hoped, or wasn't as easy to build as they'd hoped, and stuff like that. I mean, it can be some rocky waters to navigate, especially building a very large scale Drupal site, and there can be mistakes potentially made along the way. And
don't give away all the goods for my DrupalCon session yet, though.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so with some of those companies, they, yeah, I mean, although their site is launched, it can be frustrating if they don't really kind of embrace it. Any other predictions? 2009? I predict this is the last year that the New Year's Eve glasses that people wear will really work on your face. Because, you know, the 2001, you had the 2 on one side and then the 2 zeros where you put your eyes through and the 1 on the other side. And that really worked through 2009. 2010, you're going to have the 1 down the middle of your nose, which is going to be a little awkward. 2011, it's just over. It's over.
I've got a prediction. I predict, and I don't know what it'll be, but the association, the Drupal Association, is going to actually figure prominently in something in 2009. It's going to be an interesting year. So we've got Drupal Association elections come up in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be the first time that the sort of executive, with the exception of Angie, will be up for re-election. And I think, you know, there's a lot of sort of potential, whether it's, you know, trademark protection or interests and all kinds of just continued challenges as the community grows. I predict the association will face sort of a big challenge and have to come together and answer a call in 2009.
Interesting.
Shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
So you make it sound like a superhero. So if people wanted to become a part of this superhero legion of which you speak, the Drupal Association. So you say the elections are coming up. Do you find out about all of that on, where is it, association.drupal.org? Is that correct?
Yeah, there'll be an announcement. I assume the announcement will also go up on Drupal.org itself as well. You know, last year there was a call for nominations for new members, and and then there's an actual voting day and things like that. And you know, the last year the elections were on the 15th of January, so it should be any day now.
The election should happen any day now. Just whoop.
Well, the announcement at least should.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Got it. Yes. So. We always encourage people to get involved with that. As goodness, like half the people on the podcast here are Angie, Addie, James, all on the Drupal Association, one way or another. And Yeah. The Legion of Superheroes for Drupal. You get a cape and a shirt with the Drupal icon on it. And
get some 2009 glasses.
Yeah, spandex pants. It's good stuff. The 2009 glasses, exactly. wear them while you can, folks. Wear them while you can. This is one of the things we're losing with the decade change.
Maybe on that note.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end the podcast. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for being on the podcast. We're going to sort of pick up the pace of the podcasts a little bit and try and get them back up to sort of every weekish, every other weekish kind of a thing.
Now that you've recovered from your eggnog-induced slumber.
Oh, man.
Back in action.
I know. It was like a combination of all the, like, Cajun, you know, jambalaya and eggnog. It was just like, whoa. Not cool. So, yes, but we're back in action now. So, we'll see you next time. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
So long. Bye.